Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's edition of Front Porch Talks took place on Friday afternoon, May 4th, from noon till 1 o'clock here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. It kicked off our Anchored Revival Weekend, which took place May 4th through the 6th. And in the Sack Lunch Saturation Session, Pastor Margaret Michael came and shared the word with us.
Well, it's 12 o'clock, 12:01 actually, so thanks for being here. If you haven't realized that there was manna from heaven that showed up in the form of a Costco wrap tray, I don't know what you call that thing, but it's good, I'll eat it. So thank you for the anonymous donor of that, Butch Strauderman. Thank you for bringing that. We appreciate that. It's not too anonymous. He told me yesterday I could tell anybody that wanted some to get some, so I know he doesn't care too much, but I like making him turn the color of his shirt for a minute. That's fun. Well, we're going to get started. Thanks for giving up your lunch hour. Some of you have real jobs to get back to, so we're going to start and end on time. And Pastor Margaret's going to come and share in a moment. And we're excited for the weekend ahead. Pray that you'll lean in and be a part of whatever you can be a part of this weekend. There's a lot happening in this town this weekend. Maybe you've noticed that. I tried to get breakfast with my wife this morning at Cracker Barrel and figured out real quick, we're not the only ones here, but that's okay. Hey, I'm going to read you a verse as we prepare our hearts, and I'm going to pray over the food that you're already eating, and then Pastor Margaret will come. But this is the verse that me and Lauren and our kids have been kind of working on this week. We try to pick a verse that we read before school. Sometimes we memorize it, sometimes we don't. Don't be too impressed, but we certainly at least try to read it. And it's simple, but it's from Matthew 11. And their letters are in red. So Jackson got a new Bible recently. We were learning about what it means when the letters are in red. So he thought that was pretty cool. But these are words written in red for us today. It says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Sounds pretty good to me. Let me pray for you today, and then Pastor Margaret's going to come share. Lord, I don't know who in this room might need rest today. I don't think there would be many of us that would raise our hands and say we don't need it. Thank you that you are the God who gives rest. Often you don't maybe give it how we think we need it. Sometimes you have to stop us. Sometimes you have to get our attention so that we can rest. Sometimes you have to interrupt our schedule, our routine, our busyness to get our attention and help us to rest. And I don't know what this weekend will be about totally. I have some ideas what you might want to speak to me about. But I do believe you want to give us some rest for our souls. So in the midst of busyness, in the midst of a lot going on, give us permission to find rest in you this weekend. That we would come. We have to come to you. You get our attention and you'll stop us sometimes where we are, but it takes us having to come to you and you'll give us rest. And so I pray that that would begin even now. Bless the food that we're eating, the hands that prepared it. Bless Pastor Margaret as she comes and helps us get some spiritual rest that we might need for our souls. We love you and we thank you for your word, and it is true. And so whenever we open it, we expect to hear from you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Welcome. You could be anywhere you wanted to be today. On a Friday, it's beautiful, and you're here. So thank you for that. We're talking about Anchored. It's kind of the theme this week and this weekend. And as we come today, Pastor Carey just asked me, he said, would you talk a little bit just about revival and what revival is? So I was thinking about that. You know, what was kind of my first memory of revival? And growing up in the Old Order Mennonite Church, I didn't have much reference to that. It wasn't something that we did on a regular basis was have revival. Actually, I don't know that I ever remember us having a revival. We were consistently together, but really, there was never really an emphasis on revival. But then I had another memory. I was about 16, and my really good friend and I decided that we were going to be rebellious. And so we snuck out one night, and we went to a revival. Now, we had no idea what we was in for. I said, growing up in the Old Order Mennonite Church, right? So everything... You go in, you sit down, you don't talk, you don't speak. The preacher's the only one with the Bible. And you sit and you listen. And you're in big trouble if you don't when you get home. And So we made our way to the Pentecostal church for revival. We walked in. We did not disguise ourselves. We had, you know, we looked like Mennonite girls. And so we sit down, and there was a lot of flurry in that room. There was stuff happening. And the preacher, I'll never forget this, he said, tonight I'm going to pray for healing. I'm going to pray for healing if you have a need in your life. You know, I'll come and pray over you. And the lady next to us raised her hand. And she was elderly. And obviously, and this is, I'm not in any way making fun. This is just my remembrance of revival. It's really precious to me. Gentleman come over, or the pastor come over, and he asked her. He said, what do you need prayer for? And she said, my knees. Her knees were really bothering her. And so he anointed her and prayed over her, and in a very loud voice, he said, are you healed? And she said, I'm not sure. And he said, well, if you're not healed tonight, you will be by the end of this revival. And I was very confused about what is revival. So I guess it's a good question today for us. What is revival? Webster says it's an act or instance of reviving, a state of being revived, such as renewed attention or interest to something, new presentation or publication of something old, a period of renewed religious interest, an often highly emotional evangelistic meeting. And I went, I've been to revival. Yes, and it was good. So funny story, the rest of the story on that one. My mom was telling me the other day that she has a really good friend, and they haven't been together much. The church divided when they were young. They couldn't be together. And so my friend and I decided to get our mothers together, the only two surviving people of their class. At 90, we did a little class reunion the other day. And so we were trying to get them to tell stories of when they got in trouble. And my mom says, well, you remember that time that we skipped church and we went to another church? I went, you did that? So they was telling about their story, so I told mom about mine. I said, well, since you've confessed, I'm going to confess. And she said, you only told me that because you're in a room with a bunch of people and you knew you wouldn't get in trouble. I said, you're exactly right. I want to share just a little bit about someone who was moved by revival, and it's E. Stanley Jones. And I want to share a little bit about just a paragraph of what that was like for him at Asbury, but then later I want to share with you where that led him. E. Stanley Jones was born in Baltimore, Maryland. He studied law at City College before moving to Asbury College in Wilmore, Kentucky. In February of 1905, Jones and three other men were having a private prayer meeting when, about 10 p.m., the Holy Spirit seemed to enter the room. Other students joined them, and revival spread across the Asbury campus and around the town of Wilmore. There were confessions of sin, powerful prayers, and new, deeper commitments to the Lord. In his spiritual autobiography, Jones says that this revival liberated him from a sense of superiority, which prepared him for future work as a missionary, opened his ears to the Holy Spirit, and led directly to his calling to the mission field. Jones graduated from Asbury in 1907 and became a missionary to India under the Board of Missions of the Methodist Episcopal Church. In India, he met a fellow missionary, Mabel Lossing, whom he married in 1911. So I'll share a little bit more about what I believe that revival birthed in him. But today, there's one scripture that we all go back to when we think about revival, I believe, and it's in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and that's just kind of where we're going to sit today for the scripture. But is there a recipe for a guarantee of revival? I don't know. There's not a recipe. The Holy Spirit works. But God's Word outlines the conditions that must precede a visitation of His presence in revival. Nowhere are those conditions spelled out more clearly than in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And today, as we look at this passage, I really feel like, and Pastor Adrian was saying, you know, just this resting in Him, And the other R word that I would add to that today is just reflecting in Him. Just this idea of resting today and reflecting. And I have some questions for us today. Just as we think about revival and we look into our own hearts and we ask God to give us wisdom and clarity in these areas. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And today, I just have a couple questions. Really, you're in the room. You're seeking God. I know that. You're here. You're faithful. And I believe that as I've reflected over these questions, and Nancy Lee DeMoss, she's married now and has a new last name. I can't remember it. But I've read some of her book on revival, and some of this comes from her. I didn't come up with all these questions myself. But as we just prayerfully consider today revival, we can ask ourselves questions like, am I a candidate for revival? Am I living in such a way that God could send revival to my heart, my home, my church, and my community? Could God use my life as an instrument of revival? Would you pray with me? Father, we come before you today, and I just ask God that as you speak to each one of us here through the power of your Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would search our hearts, that you would reveal anything, Lord, in us that you would like just to talk to us about, anything in our hearts that you see, that you would just bring those things to us. Lord, I know that not one of us, there's not one in this room today that doesn't desire revival. That's why they're here. And so, God, I just ask that you would speak to us each personally. And, God, would you be undeniable to us? And as we go into this weekend, Lord, I pray that you will just draw us closer to you than we've ever been before. And, Lord, I believe that you have something, I know that you have something planned for each one of us specifically. So cleanse our hearts, search our hearts, God, and we just give this time to you, and I pray it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You know, King Solomon is dedicating the temple, and he's built this magnificent temple, and he has actually, as he is dedicating the temple and he is sharing his heart with God and with the people in 2 Chronicles, and I'll find it. I have a chronological Bible, so it's not really in order, so it can be hard to find scripture sometimes. So he has dedicated the temple, and then the Lord appears to him at night after this dedication. And this is kind of around the scripture that I just read. I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me faithfully as David your father did, and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne I coveted with David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a successor to rule over Israel. And he goes on to say, but if you turn away and forsake the decrees and commands I have given you and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot Israel from my land, which I have given them, and will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. And it's interesting when you look down through the next years how it didn't take long. It never takes long if we get our focus off of what God wants for us in our lives. So we have the words, if my people, God promised to hear, forgive, and heal. It's a conditional one. It begins with an if. It cannot be claimed by just anyone. It is for God's people. So am I a child of God? Am I a child of God? Was there a time in my life when I received Christ? And have I trusted the grace of God and the shed blood of Christ to save me apart from any good works that I've done? And just today, knowing that it is through Christ that we come and have relationship, that they came to that temple and they sacrificed as the children of God, and Jesus made his way to the cross and took that place. He became the great sacrifice for our sin. And now today, can we look back and pinpoint that time when we accepted Christ? And do I recognize that I'm under new ownership, that my life is no longer my own? I have been bought with a price. I belong to God. I'm adopted in and grafted in to the family of God. Praise Jesus. Is my relationship with God the most important thing in my life? Do I cultivate a relationship daily with the Lord? These are things that we can reflect on and give thanks for, that relationship. He goes on to say, those who are called by my name. Isn't that a privilege to actually be able to know that we are called by his name? That when those who bear the name of Christ begin to reveal a likeness to the one whose name they bear. And so, as we think about presence, we talk about presence a lot around here. Do the people around us know that I'm a believer? Have I shared my testimony? It is such a privilege to be a child of God. I just want us to reflect on these things today. It is a privilege that he has brought us into the kingdom. Do I reflect his holiness, his integrity in my daily conduct? Do people know that are around us on a daily basis? Do they know that if they have a personal or spiritual need that they can come to us and we'll pray for them? And then the next words in that of shall humble themselves. And the Lord truly exemplified living that life of humility. He left the splendor of heaven and the glory of heaven and he came to earth. And I have this book on humility that I have marked up and read so many times. It's by Andrew Murray. It's just called Humility. And I just want to share a little bit of it with you. It says, at the Holy Supper table, the disciples still disputed who should be the greatest. Jesus said, he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And that he that is chief, I am among you as he that serves. The path in which Jesus walked, which he opened up for us, the power and the spirit in which he wrought our salvation, and to which he saves us, is ever the humility that makes me the servant of all. And Andrew Murray goes on to say, brethren, there is a path to the higher life, down, lower down. This was what Jesus said to the disciples who were thinking of being great in the kingdom and of sitting on his right hand and on his left. Seek not, ask not to be exalted. That is God's work. Look to it that you humble yourselves and take no place before God or man, but that of a servant. That is your work. Let that be your one purpose and power. God is faithful. Just as water ever seeks and fills the lowest place, so the moment God finds us abased and empty, his glory and power flow in to exalt and to bless. He that humbleth himself, that must be our care. And God shall exalt by his mighty power and his great love. He will do it. My one need is humility, and let us believe that what he shows, he gives, and what he is, he imparts. As the meek and lowly one, he will come in and dwell in the longing heart. And today, he comes and he wants us to be servants, just as he was. And I think about that picture of, you know, you take a basin and you take a pitcher of water and you pour it in that basin, it just goes to the lowest place. It's what he did on that night before his death. He became a servant for us. And so what does humility look like? Again, just some thoughts. Do I believe the best? Do I rejoice when others are praised or promoted and I'm overlooked? Do I desire to serve my family and my church? Do I grieve over my sin and how it affects a holy God? When there is a broken relationship, do I take initiative to go and be reconciled? Am I quick to forgive and to extend mercy? And today we are seeking God and asking Him to renew the mind of Christ in us. That's what we're doing. We're coming and reflecting. And these are just questions to help us to think, reflect. And so often, I know it's true in my life, I get busy. And these are the things I don't do. It's easier sometimes to be busy than to reflect and just let the Lord show us how that He would like to work in our life. We're just asking God to renew us, to renew the mind of Christ in us, to get back to true north. As we get in our busy lives, sometimes we start looking on the horizon, what's down here in front of us, instead of on the Lord, and just knowing that He has everything, that He is in control. I want to share with you the rest of the story about E. Stanley Jones. After that revival, Jones began his mission work among the lowest class of people. He did not attack the predominant religions of the area, but tried to present the gospel of Jesus Christ without attaching Western culture to it. As the Methodist Board of Missions, evangelist at large to India, Jones conducted large meetings in Indian cities. He presided over roundtable conferences where people of all faiths could sit down as equals and share their testimonies of how their religious experiences improved their lives. Jones' ministry soon became worldwide in its influence as he stressed that the reconciliation brought through Jesus Christ was intended for the whole world. His reputation as a reconciler invited him to many political negotiations in India, Africa, and Asia. He was a close confidant of U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt in the time preceding World War II. And after the war, he was greeted in Japan as the Apostle of Peace. He played an important role in establishing religious freedom in post-colonial Indian government. He became a close friend of Gandhi and even wrote a biography of Gandhi, a book which Martin Luther King said influenced him to adopt strict nonviolent methods in the American Civil Rights Movement. Jones had a strong influence in preventing the spread of communism in India. Jones died in India on January 25, 1973, a prominent Methodist bishop, E. Stanley Jones, the greatest Christian missionary since St. Paul. And think about, he came to that school that day in the early 1900s, and they just began to seek the Lord. And he talks about how that experience, when the Holy Spirit came and ministered to them, how that changed his trajectory. And today, I think about us sitting here. What might the Lord have for us? Debbie Huntley brought this book to prayer the other day, and I asked her if I could borrow it, so I wanted to share something that she read out of it. And it's talking about raising up a remnant. And I think about the Lord brought us here today. We desire to have revival in our life and in our world. It says at critical junctures in history, God raises up a remnant to reestablish His reign and rule. It's rarely a majority. In fact, it's almost always a small minority. But all it takes is a faithful few to begin a reformation. It is not a new discovery that sparks it. Reformations are birthed out of rediscovering something ancient, something simple, and something true. In the days of Hilkiah the priest, for example, it was the rediscovery of the Book of the Law that sparked national revival. That one rediscovery brought a nation to its knees. Every generation needs a reformation. Every generation needs to tear down its idols and rebuild its temples. Every generation needs to repent of its sin and rediscover the ancient truths. And so today, the next part of this is prayer. He tells us that we must pray. And prayer is a tool of God. It's given to us to be able to ask the will of God, to see that the will of God is accomplished on earth as it is in heaven. And Pastor Kerry is going to come here in a little bit, and he is going to lead us in prayer. But just thinking about what our prayer life is and having that time that we allow the Lord to look into our hearts and also for us to pray for those around us and for revival, for spiritual awakening, for the lost. And one of the questions the author had asked was, if there's revival in my home, my church, my community, and it depends on my prayers, would there be revival? He tells us we must seek His face. Revival is the pursuit of God, not His gifts. It means that we desire intimacy with Him more than anything else. And you know, there's a prayer that I pray for a lot of different things, but that prayer is very simple. Lord, would you give me the want to want to? Would you just give me the want to be intimate with you, to sit at your feet, to carve out that time that can get taken away to so many other good things? And I think about through the day. As I remember when I came to Christ and I was a hairdresser, and some of you know I'm not the most detailed person in the room, and my schedule some days could be a train wreck. And I was back-to-back booked. And there were some days I would just look up, and I was a new believer, and I'd go, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. And inevitably, every one of those things would work themselves out. But this was what I would always try to remember. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything that, I mean, for the little things, for the big things. And the last part of this verse, and turn from their wicked ways. And I just asked today, and I've been asking the Lord to continue to search my heart. Have I removed the things out of my life that might be influences? Maybe part of that old life that's still around us. To know where I'm vulnerable. What triggers me to be tempted? What are those triggers? Do I know what they are? And have I put things in place? Do I have accountability when I can call and say, you know, I need your prayer right now? And just wanting to be pure before God. I have a song, actually, Pastor Adrian, he sent it out to the pastors this week, and it has been just a powerful song for me. And I just thought for this time of just kind of reflection before Pastor Kerry comes and speaks to us a little bit, I wanted us to listen to this song, and I think it's the cry of our heart that we would hear Him speak this weekend. That we would really hear Him speak to us as we come together to be anchored deeper and deeper in what He has for us, and knowing He has plans for us that we have never thought of or imagined. It doesn't matter what age we are. His Word tells us that. And sometimes I think I know exactly what His plans are for me, but they seldom look like that in retrospect. They're better. They may not have felt better at some points, but maybe because of the tough things that have happened in our lives, we're stronger for it. I remember standing in Image Recovery. Pastor Camelot was working with me, and I just thought that I would be there the rest of my life. I would retire from the hospital. That was my life. And Pastor Camelot, and she wasn't a pastor in those days, she looked at me and she said, this isn't the end for you. This isn't where you're going to work for a long time. I said, yes, it is. I'm going to retire here. She said, no, you're not. And she walks off. The Lord has things planned for us, plans for a hope and a future. So I'm going to play this song, and then Pastor Kerry, you can come.
Here it comes. Pastor Adrian sent that out, I replied something like this, his voice is my reward. His voice. The song says speak, because I think we long to hear his voice more than anything as human beings. But think about it in the opposite direction. Does he also long to hear our voices? I mean, we're created in his image, so he's given us desires deep within that he must have for himself. Since my dad passed, I miss a lot of things about him, but his voice is what I miss the most. And maybe that's because we spent a lot of time away from each other. As a little boy, I would hear his voice on the CB radio when he was out in his boat shrimping and I was home with the base unit. And many times I would just miss him and I'd pick the mic up and say, Miss Vicky, come in, Captain Billy. And his voice would come back. And he never pretended to be somebody he wasn't, even though all the other fleet were listening. How's my boy? You know, he didn't get all fancy. He just addressed the one who was calling him. And I think God is so much like that. And so I am forever indebted to Verizon, because every once in a while I do this. Because I can.
Hey, Carrie, this is Daddy. I just thought I'd call you and just see where you were. And just got through eating down here to the prairie sleep down here. Finished eating, had a good meal. But anyway, I thought we'd see how you're doing, where you're at, so forth. Stay in touch. I love you, buddy. Bye.
That'll get you through a tough spot. I love you, buddy. Stay in touch. And I think that's what revival is. It's us saying to Father God, I'm here to stay in touch. And I want us to pray for a moment through some of these questions that Pastor Market has offered to us for revival. I'm just going to turn them into prayer. See if one of these seven questions becomes a question that you continue to seek God's voice on and give Him your voice about during these days that we're spending together. Lord Jesus, I've heard Brother Kinlaw say that revival is a set-aside season to correct the spiritual slippage in our lives, to tighten up the relationship between You and us. And so, Lord, today I want to pray into these questions. I want to ask You, Lord, is my relationship with You the most essential thing in my life? If it is, I rejoice. If it's not, I ask You to cause that to be reality before this anchored season ends. A second question, Lord, am I under Your ownership totally? Am I under Your total ownership, Jesus? I think I am, but search my heart, O God, and see if there be any offensive way in me. And make sure by the end of this season of revival that You have full ownership of my life. 3. Does my life reflect Your holiness, God? When people encounter me, do they think of You? Are they able to look beyond my countenance and see Yours? If so, Lord, I rejoice. If not, Lord, please, during these few days, would You please allow Your holiness to be in full reflection from my life? 4. Have I humbled myself? Will I humble myself in Your sight? Lord, we believe that holiness and humility are two tracks that run together into glory. So, Lord, search our hearts today. Search my heart, O God. If there is a hint of arrogance or pride, I pray that You would have Your way with it and that You would humble me in Your sight. Humble me, Lord. Let me have humility like You displayed. 5. Am I Your servant, Jesus? Do I want You to primarily serve me, or do I primarily long to serve You? I pray, Lord, that You will make any adjustment necessary in my attitude, in my actions, that there would be no doubt left that I am a true servant of the living God. 6. Do I grieve over sin? Do I grieve over sin because of what it did to You? Do I grieve over sinners? Lord, I'm reminded of what Brother Keith Carroll said recently in our pastor's gathering. He said, and it's so deep, Lord. It's so deep, I don't want to miss a word. I'm going to pull it, Lord, word for word. The prayer that He gave to us, the question, if I was more obsessed over lost people in my life, would there be less lost people in my life? And so, Lord, we really want to grieve over sin. And we want to obsess over those who are lost, to draw them into our hearts of prayer. And finally, 7, am I quick to forgive and to extend mercy? I pray, Lord, that I would have a glimpse of the world's anguish, that I would understand that people need gentleness, tenderness, that I would be quick to forgive and quick to extend mercy, because that's what you have done for me, Lord. And I want to be a good steward of the way you have so beautifully treated me. And so, Lord, these are prayers of preparation from these questions that Pastor Margaret outlined, and there were more, but those were the ones that stuck deep in my heart. And I want to pray even now for those in the room. I believe that when we gather here like this on the very first onset of our revival, I believe it moves your heart. I believe that this is probably the most inconvenient meeting for everyone, a Friday at lunch. Takes some planning to get here. And I just believe that that moves your heart, Lord. And I don't believe that you're impressed by it, but I do believe you're delighted by it. So would you take our movement towards you in this sack lunch time today? And would you not only pour out your blessings in and on us, but on everyone who will be a part of this weekend? Let us stand in proxy, Lord. Let us take your hand and the hand of the people who couldn't be here and bring that together in prayer. And we know, Lord, that we're in desperate need of spiritual renewal. Some churches have given up on it, and I understand it. It's a lot logistically. Sometimes you feel like you're begging people to come, and it costs. But Lord, I believe that the reward of revival will always be worth whatever it cost us. And so I pray that you would draw us near to your heart and everyone who longs to be a part of this weekend with us. I pray for Jason Tuggle and the Delta Sun Band, and for their singer Peyton, who's going to join them this year. She's coming by train, even now, from New York. And they are on their way, probably in a SUV or something, coming from North Carolina. And around 5 o'clock, they all should land here on our property if you give them safe passage, and we believe you will. We just pray that while they've got their mind set on all kinds of equipment and getting the chords and the songs right and making sure the technology is going to do what it's supposed to do, I pray that before they arrive, Lord, they will have some time where there's no doubt that you have touched down on their own hearts. And when they lead us in worship, it will be natural because they've already been in contact with you today. Be with Pastor Adrian tonight as he brings the word. I long to hear what you're going to say through him to me. My heart will be open. Open the hearts of our people. Lord, I pray for tomorrow morning when we gather at 8 for that light breakfast. Ask Brother Jared to just bring us a lesson on servanthood. And just give him the words, Lord. And then Brother Aaron and Lene have joined us. I think this is Lene's first trip here with us. But Brother Aaron was with us last year. And even though he was not slated to be here, he said, "I'm coming. I want to be there for part of this." And so after Brother Jared gives his message, the first bearded messenger, the second bearded messenger will come. And he will give us a message on courage. Courage. These are workshops, Lord. We want you to work on us. And then as soon as they're done, we're going to go right into worship. And we're going to have a panel tomorrow on holiness. We're going to talk about how holiness looks in the everyday life that we live. And afterwards, we hope to close before noon with 2 prayer laboratories, the men in one area of the church, the ladies in another. And I just pray that our hearts will be wonderfully warmed and we will be changed. And then Sunday morning will be what Sunday morning is. And I'm asking that May will be a month of the message. I pray that the message of holiness will penetrate and saturate and permeate and situate our lives. Lord, you planned this month. You knew long before I did and anyone else what would be in place. And I'm so looking forward to saying to the people, move forward. It's the message, not the messenger. And this church knows this and believes it. And I am so thrilled for what you're doing. We don't always understand what you're doing, but we're glad that we've heard your voice because you have spoken. And your voice is our reward. And we embrace it today. And the people said. Now before you take off, you all get in early on everything, see? You get in early on everything. But I'm going to have the bearded charmers to come here and help me for just a moment. And if you would like to have an early envelope so that you can make your investment in revival, you're going to get one right now. And even if you don't want one, take it, will you? Make us feel better. Make us feel like you wanted one. Kim and I have already talked about our envelope. We plan to bring it back tonight with a check inside of it made out to the church. And, you know, you might not know, but lodging in this area this time of the year is a little high. So if you could give a little extra, it would be helpful. But we want to make sure the band is taken care of and some of the other expenses. We want to throw a little something at Aaron because he's come to be with us just to help him. So anything you give will go to the expense of the weekend, and if there's any left over, it will go to our outreach account, known now as Project Galilee, but it'll go to that. So everything you give is going to go to revival or outreach, which is the fruit of revival. And I just feel like Dan Lee's got a benediction on him. So Dan Lee, come up here, my brother, and pray us out, because we know you're used to meaningful meals. So if you wouldn't mind, Brother Dan. Let's have a hand for Dan Lee.
Thank you, Carrie. And thanks, everybody, for being here and starting us out. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for a new day, for a new opportunity, unknown opportunity, to renew ourselves, to check the anchor that we are tied to and make sure it's holding and not pulling apart. Maybe to take the boat out of the water, take a look at the bottom, see if we got any punky wood in it or any barnacles on the bottom. Clean it up, tighten it up, get ready for the rest of the storms that are going to head our way in life so that our anchor will hold. We thank you for your son, Jesus, the real anchor. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
I told you he had a benediction.